access cell. I will invite Twisted Bill to start sharing. Today is February the 10th, so we continue our studies on the last time we talking about, last two classes we talking about the body sensations, which is feeling, and today we were talking about the mind, or consciousness. So to start out with, I think it's important is you know, in Buddhism, as you practice Buddhism and you know that our mind is very important. So what all the Buddha talk about is, you know, different aspects, but it's talking about the mind. So as I have shared with you earlier, before we start the class, our mind is very tricky. You know, like we call conceptual mind or discursive mind. Mind is very tricky. So on the path of practice, it's important to remind ourselves to make some aspirations or motivations on, you know, every day, so that our practice is not the practice can be boring, and if we don't know how to remind ourselves, and then we can slack back or, you know, now practice slowly deteriorate, but you don't know. It's like you go on mist. First, you don't think it's cold, for example. You know, when you on a mist day, on a cold day, at the beginning you go out and you don't feel that cold, but slowly you walk on the cold and you feel slowly the coldness is penetrating your skin. But at the beginning you don't feel like. But like an hour later you feel, and then you can feel a lot of coldness in your body. It's just the practice like that. It's penetrating slowly like that. And if we don't remind ourselves, and this is the same thing, whether you are very motivated in your practice or whether you are literally on your path of practice, this can be two paths like that. But when our mind is discursive, distractions, and then we can give up our practice easily. And as a practitioner, we have the responsibility for ourselves. Nobody can do that for us. So each day you choose a gatha, something to remind yourself. So like many Zen masters, in the Chinese tradition, they put the word death in their forehead every day. Death, the word dying, in their forehead every day, to remind themselves. So that's their bodhicitta, just cultivating. Something is pushing, internally pushing them, and motivate them to practice diligently on the path. The same thing like that when we study Buddhism or practice Buddhism. Otherwise we can get bored easily on our path. And our mind is can be deviated easily, because you don't feel like you don't have much joy in the path, then you withdraw yourself in the path. And that happened to many, as I go through many years in the practice, I see that. Sometimes I see that in myself, so I try to bring myself back up. And I see that from external, from other practitioners also, many monastics also. Their first year in the practice, they saw religion. And second year, the practice slowly deteriorated. After your beginner mind, it's very strong. But once you enter the path, because there is a million ways, you know, like in Buddhism, Buddhism is not one way of practice. The Buddha says 84,000 Dharma gate. So what, how many, so you have to choose the gate, the Dharma door to enter. One gate, doesn't matter what gate. In Buddhism, we don't say that. There is only one gate, one Dharma door for you to enter. So if you don't choose, able to determine one Dharma path, then it's easy to be confused. And you don't really grasp the essentials, the teachings. Here is by permeating it and knowing your mind. And our practice can be a slow deteriorate, but we don't know. You know, and one day we will withdraw from the practice. So it's important to know our mind. To know our mind in Buddhism. So that's why in the old teachings of the Buddha, where instance Dhammapada, you know Dhammapada? Dhammapada is many short verses. And it's like poem, very short verses every year. And it's opening verse that says that all things are preceded by the mind and led by the mind and created by the mind. That's the opening verse.
Talking
and different mind. So when when we study about reason, we have to know about the mind. So what is mind? You have to clearly define so you understand the definition. So what is mind? So what is the quality of mind? You have to know that when you... I think I share with you some of this a couple of times. When I begin as a novice, I was questioning myself about this. I got confused. And myself. I would ask myself, what is mind? You know? But in the West, we say... So there is two form of mind. Is the first one is like conceptual mind, discursive mind. That is thinking mind. Or that's what in discursive mind. The other part of mind is non-conceptual or true mind. So discursive mind or conceptual mind is all. It arises a lot in our everyday life, especially when you meditate. This kind of mind is always, because there's a lot of thinking coming, arising while you meditate. So first we're talking about the quality of mind. What is the character of mind?
Last time you were talking about the body, feeling, about mind, quality of mind.
So discursive mind, you already know, is thinking mind, is conceptual mind.
So the true mind is clarity.
So clarity and knowing is the quality of the mind. And another is pure mind. monasteries, this groups are like, when they meditate and they just, their mind, if they attend and then their mind is like snow, it's very pure, it's not polluted. So this is the character, clarity, knowing, or the other is called
luminosity.
So if when you are in meditations, then you are not really, your mind is kind of half clear and half not. So you have to waken up yourself again to see that. And you know this is the quality of the mind, is clarity and knowing. So sometimes we are in meditation but we don't know. We are in a stage of like half knowing, half not knowing. So you're not really knowing. And you're not really pure, your mind is not. Because there is many disgust, thought or distractions. Is into, you know, going to your mind. And luminosity is light. It's very light, very bright. So if you are meditating, we are not correct. So always when you're in meditation, you have to know this quality, not this. So if you are in pain, you know that you're in pain. It's okay to be in pain, because your body not get used to it. But at least you know it, you're in pain, and you know it clearly. You're not just like vast. You don't know. So when you are in really, that's why you know like knowing in every move of our body. So knowing the qualities of mindfulness, you see that. Because when you are in mindfulness, you know what you are doing. And you slow down to react. So last Sunday, I was giving a talk on yoga. React quite strongly, but I just calm myself. I just say, you know, loving speech, and I don't have to react right away. I know what is going on. So they come and later on they call in and they say, "Oh, I feel regret. You know, I'm not able to control myself." I say, "It's okay. You know, because I know when I'm on the other state. I know I feel something is not right in my world." So once you know, then you don't have to react in a way that can be harmful or can be hurt for other people's feelings. Because of the quality of clarity, you see it's very clear. You see very clear. That's what the Buddha. That's why you say, why the Buddha know everything? He's in a state of clarity all the time. So he is in a state of clarity and then he know what to do, how to act. But we as samsaric human beings, our clarity is very weak, you know, our clarity is very weak. And so then we act, our actions or our way of doing things, carry that, manifest that, so that hurt ourselves very easily. So last time I used the word mind and heart. So our mind is normally associated with the process of intellectual. That's the mind. And and the process of life is more thinking. You know, the mind is in process of thinking. But the heart is involved, concerned with more feeling. That's the difference. So when we act with the heart, then it's more feeling, emotions. Emotions. Because when we translate a word from, for example, citta.
So it's a Sanskrit word.
But when we translate into another language, we don't have exact word. words to translate.
So, for example, in the English we have say heart and mind. So
sometimes we have a mixed understanding of heart and mind. So it's loose part of the meaning, but as long as we practice and we know,
So for the for the mind of discursive mind, it's associated with the mind of, for example, anger. It's part of mind. So this kind of mind is attaching. Well, we can call lust, for example.
Or scattered.
So your mind out, mind scattered all the place. Then we call scattered is another word for discursive. Because when your mind is discursive, it's scattered everywhere.
And dreaming. So this dreaming, when we
meditate, sometimes you are in our mind kind of stage. If you're working the whole day, you're tired, and you try to meditate, and your body is not going in accordance to what you want, so you are falling into the dreaming state of mind. So this mind is very much associated with the body. So it's like software and hardware. Our body is like hardware.
No, hardware.
For example, and our mind is like software. You know, so have to work in the corner. Sometimes the hardware get affected. It's not working well, and you have to do like some running some kind of virus cleaning format. So it's like our mind got polluted. For example, this is like the hardware get virus into it, and it's really hard for the body to concentrate. And also discrimination is part of this too, of that. And especially if we go into Abhidharma, Abhidharma is the highest study, one of the baskets in Buddhism. The sutra baskets and the Vinaya is the trainings, the rules or the code of conduct, ethical baskets, and the Abhidharma baskets is the baskets of logic. Yeah. And all this will be related to our next study about in later on, maybe next week we'll go into the interdependent co-risings of our next subjects. So we will talk about more ignorance, how is that formulated.
So delusion mind, when our mind is deluded or delusion or ignorance, it's hard for us to get into concentrations. And all this is related. Because we already studied that nothing is by itself. Because anger, all this will be played together. And our mind scatter, then it's because of ignorance, so we cannot see.
And quiet mind, our mind is quiet and not quiet. Here is, our mind is not chatter. Even when we are sitting in meditation, very quiet, but no word, but our mind is chattering. We're talking to ourselves, self conversations, all the time. So as we further on our practice of meditation, we have to quiet our chattering mind. And then, once we quiet our chattering mind, and then clarity will be born.
So we, I just earlier we talked about clarity is one quality of the mind, and knowing is another quality, luminosity is the quality of the mind. But all of this, what I'm talking about, is a plane try to delude the mind because anger, noise, scare mind. So that's why we cannot generate the clarities, cannot be manifest itself. But all is there, all we do is just to know that, and know that and transform, you know, remove the layer. For example, if on the ground you see snow cover, but someday snow melt and then the ground manifests itself. Same thing. When all of this we transform, hatred, anger, ignorance, scatter, discuss mind and transform, and then clarity is manifest by itself. That is about the mind and consciousness. So I want to talk next is mental formations. So we have body, feeling, body is one, sensation is two, mind or consciousness is number three, and now is mental formations
or mental contents.
And also related, you know, like anger is another part of mental formations. It's also another mental formations. So I think I have shared with you the five hindrances last time. You remember? Hindrances.
So what hindrances to our practice is a negative mental formations?
Greed?
Yeah. So... So I have to, anger is another one of the main reasons, right? Anger.
Sloth.
Is that correct?
Yes.
I have a lot of sloth.
Yes. This is hinging to our
practice. That's why I laughed.
And we all have this, and this is what pushes us all the time, running. So the quality, as I mentioned to you earlier, is knowing. So you know, we know that we have this kind of restlessness in us. So that's why I told you, emphasize at the beginning, that we have to, the quality of the mind is clarity and knowing. So we know all this when we practice. So that's the functions of the mind, is to know all this here, to aware and know all this here. Because this is a hindrance to our practice.
Doubt.
So we all have doubts. We doubt our partner, and sometimes we doubt ourselves all the time too. We don't, because we doubt ourselves, we don't know who we are. So we doubt, you know, what I'm doing on this earth, you know, what I'm doing with my life. And you doubt your abilities, you know, whether I'm good at this or not. You know. So all this is like mental formations, negative mental formations. And we have good mental formation too. It's like joy. Joy, happiness. Tranquility. So when you put into rest of this restlessness, and then you get tranquility, peacefulness. So it's just like two cones of the same quarters. Yeah. So the practice is not to run away of this, but to know
So that's why the quality of light is to know, to see. Clarity is to see. And when we have able to generate the quality of the mind, we see all this in us. And we don't run outside to run anywhere, but to go back. That's why the practice is to return. So when we take refuge, for example, is first we see the image of the Buddha, and then we return to the image of the Buddha in, you know, the image of the Buddha outside reminds the image of the Buddha. The true Buddha inside us is to return. So that's this. So practice of Buddhism is not something is to go outside us, but to return to ourselves. That's the quality of meditation. You see that the character of meditation is to return and work with our internal. So when you see that, you can see that Buddhism is not exclude anybody. Everybody able to have the ability, whether you Muslim or whether you are Catholic or Catholic, or same is to return. But maybe the form of spreading or the form of teaching might be different. But once you see the form of returning, then you not discriminate. You can able to accept everybody, embrace everybody. So that's why by the time of the Buddha, you are able to receive, you know, the Jainism, Hinduism, you know, all people, different tradition. He welcomed everybody because he able to see the nature of other religions. Not to exclude them. That's the clue. Because everybody have this, whether you are Jewish or whether you are Muslim, you have this. Whether you're Buddhist, you have this. But at the same time, you have the other opposite is compassion. Generosities, for example. All people have that. And the other is mental factor is the seven factors of enlightenment. You know that? Seven factors of enlightenment? I told you one is joy already. Mm-hmm. Joy, I told you earlier.
It's one of the factors in life.
Because when you are able to return, you can see the joy is the joy within yourself. So seven factors of enlightenment.
The first one is mindfulness. And we have been talking about that. You can see that how in the art of this character, all this qualities, mindfulness is one of the factors of enlightenment.
Investigation, or I think it's more contemplating. Investigation, exploring. Or contemplate
joy.
And the other is relaxation, tranquility. Because when we practice, we don't like very intense. Very tense, was to relax. So once you're able to relax, then joy is generated, easy. But once the body is tense, it's really hard to, there's no way that you can generate joy. And when you relax, then it's easy to explore and investigate. example, when you relax your mind is calm, but when you are tense, then your mind is very quite excited and very rough, then it's hard to explore. Or another is rapture.
You see, all this is quality of meditation.
When concentration is the quality or character of meditation. And the seventh one is equanimity.
Oh, let go.
This is a Buddhist terminology. And it's good to remember all this. So when I was studying, we remember everything, mostly memorized by all the terminologies. Then we practice easy, and when we easy to contemplate, for example, my mindfulness, you know, is always there, and it's it's appear in different part of the teachings, many part of the sutras. Equanimity, concentration, you know, for example, in three quality characters of sila, in concentrations, and insights, that's three quality. But now it's happening here too. So sometimes it's overlap, you know, it's overlap. So this is all seven factors is leading, conducive to enlightenment. So when we meditate, we should produce this kind of energies that are really supporting, helping lead us on the path to liberations. So this is the quality that when the practitioners, they produce when they practice. So as I mentioned earlier, joy is very important as we come to practice together.
I just had a question about rapture in terms of Buddhism. I've heard rapture in Christianity, because that's how I was raised, but in terms of Buddhism, what would that be?
Rapture, for me, I haven't have a clear picture on this definition yet, but I looked it up. So I want to explain in a way that I understand it, so we don't get confused. So I don't want to share something that's why I've underlined it.
Thank you.
Because I don't want to explain something that is vague and not clear, but something that I. So joy is very important on our path. Even in our life, you know, if you don't practice, you are not a practitioner, you still need some kind of joy in life. You know, different kind of joy, for example. Practitioner, they have different kind of joy, you know. If you are a practitioner, you more internal joy, for example, you able to relax yourself internally. And that's produced the kind of joys that, even though you are sitting quietly on cushion, but there's a joy that are born in you. So this is what nourishes you on the path, you know, on the path. And all this quality is quality of nourishing, nurturing on the path. For example, relaxation. You know, if you come to a practice center, you feel very tense. This makes no sense, right? You have to relax. That's why I always emphasize that you come here, you have to be comfortable and relax. It doesn't matter what happens. So when you are able to have joy, you have relaxed, then you're able to investigate into yourself. And so that's why I go very quite a little bit detail all this, you know, body, feelings, consciousness, and mental formations, so that we can get a clear picture of the practice. And, because this is some very essential qualities in the practice. So each day you have to generate some kind of joy in yourself, you know, to live happy, to be healthy. You know. This quality to be healthy, you know, joy and relax, healthy life. So the practice of Buddhism is to, you know, to have a healthy body and healthy mind. So they all come together and, you know, practice. Two but as one. As I told you, it's just like software and hardware. So next time I might wrap up, you know, the Eightfold Path. I could have clear pictures. So I try to build, you know, strong foundation for you from the beginning. You know, I go very beginnings as we go, like to refuge, you know, refuge the Buddha, and six harmony, four noble truth. Now we go on the Eightfold Path, and now we later on we go to independent co-arisings. And later on, if you have, you understand all of this. This is what I studied my first year in at Naropa University. And later on, we can, you know, we able to grasp of this and understand and practice, and then easy to go to, you know, like different sutra, like middle way sutra, some high sutra, and all these languages will be in sutra. And then it's, if we have this kind of foundation, then it's easy to grasp the mean, you know, the teachings. And Buddha nature, for example, is very. Teaching is very hard to grasp, but if we have all these basics for this, and then it's easy to move on all those things. If we understand our body, our mind, and our feelings, and all sutra describes those things but in different aspects, and more into the practice, deeply into the practice, and tell. And so, if we understand and get a whole strong understanding of this tradition, we don't, and then our practice don't easy, you know, on the right path, not let it out, deviations from our practice. And and this is the practical practice, you know, it's not something that metaphysical. That we beyond our grasp, beyond our feeling. So today I just share you with you both of that, you know, the mind and the mental formations. So the important is as I emphasize again, is to understand the quality of the mind, so that every time you have to remind yourself that when you sit meditation, if you are in a slot, then you know that you're not right meditations. And so your mind is in due stage, and you are not in the right meditations. Clarity, knowing, luminosity, dust, pure, these are the four definitions of the mind. I start grasp that when I go to University of Hawaii. In Europa, and we have analytical meditations, and I start to grasp on that. And before that, I still have a understand, but it's kind of vague, you know. When you're able to clearly understand the qualities, the characters, the definitions, then practice slowly. It takes some time, you know. And so like last time, Suko said, like, just like a fence, you know, take some time to slow down, or to slow down our anger. But this here, it takes some time for us to permeate the teachings in our life. And the important is whether you put it in the practice in your life or not. That's the important, because when we learn here, it's just short time. But you go in life, in your everyday life, you must have a lot more time. You know?
we just spend here like maybe less than 1%, 1% of your time in your life, and the other 99% of the time, what do you do, or whether you really apply into the teaching or not. And that's where you get the transformations. And you see the difficulty. Once you put the teaching into application, then you see the difficulty. And how you deal with that, how you handle that difficulty, is your insight. Is that mean the products of the result of your practice? For example, when you go home and you get some conflict with your children or your wife, and how you handle that, and how you apply the teachings. And you have collision with your co-worker, how you handle that, and how you measure, that's how you measure your practice. That's how I measure my practice when I deal with a lot of people, and when we do a lot of activities and many people react, and how I deal with that is measure my practice, and I can see that, and you can see that to yourself, and you see your progress on that in that practice, and when you see the progress, and you're happy to yourself, and you say, oh, in that situation I couldn't, I'm unable to control myself, I'm not get out, control myself. Out of control. And that's you feel joy. You feel joy in yourself. And that's how you nurture yourself. You nurture your practice. And that's how it motivates you to practice more. Okay, so thank you for your listening. If you have any questions, you can ask. So invite the South Bear so we can stop. Conclude our study.